What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And what you need to know right now is that earlier this week, scientists once again did something previously thought unimaginable. They managed to revive the organs of pigs an hour after the animals actually died.
What?
Yes. By using a new system of pumps and filters called Organex, they can restore molecular and cellular functions and blood flow in dead pigs' hearts, brains, livers, kidneys, an hour after they've died. Scientists theorize that the system could eventually be used as treatment for heart attacks and strokes in humans. So that is what you need to know.
Cool.
Pretty cool stuff. I love science.
I see the new next horror movie coming out. Reanimated pigs taking over the world. Come on now.
Well, I think it's cool because you can use it in like organ donation, theoretically, right?
That's a big deal.
Right? Yeah, that is a huge deal.
I think it's a huge deal. There's a lot of I watched Grey's Anatomy, so that's why I feel like I know things.
You're a doctor.
You're like, I am not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, but
I watch
storylines on Grey's Anatomy.
WebMD people.
WebMD. Wow.
Is that they are trying to do the pig valve, the heart valves, and the Meredith Grey's boyfriend right now, like that's his thing. He's like into the transplants with all that stuff. So, I mean, I feel pretty current. Sounds good to
getting
me.
Getting there. So, yeah. Lindsay, something that was dead came back to life.
Yeah, an hour. It had been dead for a full hour, and they brought it back to life.
I mean, normally it's a 5-second rule.
Right. Now, just like when you drop something on the floor.
That kind of balances out like robot dogs with guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those
were
scared
to death then. Now I'm like encouraged. Yeah, we can bring things back.
But this is a good thing because then they said that eventually you can use it, like I said, on organs for humans or like, you know, when people have strokes or heart attacks or whatever and they say, oh, well, they've lost oxygen or they've been like clinically dead for too long and then they're brain dead or whatever the case is or they lose function of certain limbs. This could possibly help advance, you know, the science can to make that, you know, reverse it.
Yeah, that sounds like that sounds awesome.
Awesome.
Can you still eat the bacon, though?
I don't know. I know nothing about that part of it.
You know?
Probably.
Been dead twice. No, I'm just saying.
Probably.
You know what? Do you have anything else we need to know?
No. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Listen, 90 minutes from wherever you are.
All right. We were talking football, and I love talking football with you because I learn things. Did you know that Matthew Stafford is like the only quarterback in the league last year? Like he doesn't warm up.
Yeah.
Is he saving his throws?
With the elbow? Absolutely. There was an issue last year. You saw it. That
I did. I didn't look to see if he was warming
stretch
up.
Stretch during the middle of the season when he was throwing a lot of picks. Yeah, there was an elbow issue. That's the reason. That's the why it was so spectacular that this guy got this team over the hump to win a Super Bowl with that arm. You know what I mean?
Probably a lot of shots, right?
Well, you would imagine. You would imagine.
That's what they have cortisone for.
No doubt. Absolutely. Cortisone is good stuff. You ever had
it? Yeah. I have.
Oh my God.
I had a back problem. Yeah, I know all about it.
What's wrong, Laura? It's bad.
What?
I don't like it.
It's definitely not good for you.
Make you feel better.
It works.
Oh my God.
For like 2 seconds, and then you got to shoot more.
Actually, like a week.
Hold on,
I was gonna say, the doses that they use for professional athletes is probably a little different than
cortisone,
the everyday person.
Toradol.
Yeah, Toradol is where it's at. When I had kidney stones, listen,
dude,
I've been hospitalized for kidney stones twice, and it's the only thing that helped. Like they tried even giving me like the hardcore pain meds, and they didn't even help. But the Toradol was just like I just went like numb, and I was just like,
guys,
this is great.
Walk in the training room backwards with their pants down, like just get your Toradol shot, and then go out and play. Oh yeah,
great for kidney stones.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
Whatever they gave me for the C-section, I don't know. That's
give me that. Is that what it is?
What was that stuff called again?
Well, to me, it is like torture. It's like a mental health issue because it's like you have
the
to be
epidural.
Awake. But when you have a scheduled C-section, the epidural is when you are in labor, and then when you end up in a C-section afterwards, they just bump the epidural so you have like a stronger epidural. When you have a scheduled C-section, you have what's called the spinal block.
Isn't it like a really big
it
thick
is
needle?
As bad as it sounds like it's just a real you just sit there and they do that and then you're paralyzed for while they get the baby out.
I saw it was wild. They had the big blue tent up so I'm talking to my wife,
yes,
she's talking, and on the other side of this blue tent was like a horror
a wars
movie.
Don't look.
Okay.
I told my husband and my mom, I said, just
so
don't
crazy.
Look
yeah
and then like, this is the part, and we're going to gross people out, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not going to go too far with it, okay? But the way they know you're ready for it, like, they do a pinch test. They go, do you feel that? And you're like, nope. They're like, okay, good.
Wow.
So
okay.
My sister had an emergency C-section for my goddaughter, and I was in the room. and the tent, the blue tent, right?
Yeah. Don't look.
They were like, stay on that side, blah, 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 you know, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I ain't trying to go down. That's my sister. No. But then they're like, pull the baby, right? And they're like, do you want to cut the cord? And then I was like,
you have to look.
You told me not to. I'm literally like, you told me not to look. And they pull the baby and like all this stuff, you know, it's like, whatever.
You can't unsee certain things.
And then I was like, the girl gives me the scissors. She's like, cut. I was like, no, don't look,
don't look.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
I was traumatized.
As the person on the other side of that tent, or the other side of that blue sheet.
I know.
Like, I'll just say this. You are awake for surgery. This is like, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Hold on. I was saying this, what I'm seeing, you should not be talking right now. What I'm seeing on the other side of this curtain, I should not
I
be
know,
having a conversation.
No, I had it done to me. It was just,
she knows. She
the night before,
it.
I had a scheduled C-section. I was like, oh, God, just don't think too much about it. Don't think too much about it. Oh, and then you say, can you give me something? Can you give me some Xanax? I said, no, because if we give you anything, it'll go to the baby. And I go, okay. So I just made the doctor talk to me the whole time, and I was very chatty.
That's exactly why I'm never having children.
That's what I was going to say. Y'all make me not want to have no babies.
Those babies are cute.
Come on.
I mean, I would have cute babies. That's not the point.
No babies, no babies. No,
it's doggies. It's worth it. It's a rite of passage.
I want a doggie. Really?
Yeah, start with a dog.
I feel like I'm old now to have babies.
Stop.
My daughter made blueberry pancakes today. It was awesome. See?
My nephew made me blueberry pancakes, and you know what? He's not my kid.
I was going to say, I have a goddaughter. I have a goddaughter. She loves me like I'm her mama. It's okay.
You'll see.
And then
at the
end of the day, you can set them home.
For a long time.
Exactly. You can give them back.
Come on.
No. Kids are worth it.
Don't be scared.
They're worth it.
Don't be scared.
It's hard, but it's worth it.
Did you not hear her story? Hello.
Don't be scared.
Look,
all
I know is that it's over fast. That's over fast. It's like an hour. You're done. You're in and out.
My friend had her baby.
The
and
C-section
she was like,
part. Was
yeah,
nice.
I was gonna say
the labor part was not fast.
Yeah, I know.
My friend did like her second child. She was like, I'm not doing no C-section, right? But she had to. It was emergency, and all her friends are like, dude, you schedule these things, you get it done, you go through it, and in like a week you're fine. What the hell is wrong with you trying to do it natural? And I was like, y'all are crazy.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
Y'all are crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Speaking of which. Ba-dum-boom.
Well,
there it is. There is the sounder. I like it. No.
Cooper Cup.
Hey, did you hear what Les Snead said?
No. What did he say?
Allen Robinson brings a little bit of what OBJ brought to the Rams offense this year. Is that right?
Is this a tease?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yes, he does. That huge catch radius. He brings that same deal, and he's bigger
than
OBJ.
But he's not Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, I mean, he brings that same, like I said, the catch radius. You can pretty much throw it anywhere, and he can go get it. That's what the Rams did not have. That's what Robert Woods did not bring you. And I love Robert Woods.
Yeah.
I do. I think he was the thumper. I still don't think you're going to be able to replace him, but what Allen Robinson does bring is that.
So if Allen Robinson brings a little bit of what Odell brings, do the Rams need Odell back? Is there a chance they get him back?
I'm sure he wants to come back. How much are you going to have to pay him? Because I'll say this, and I think I said this in here.
Not a lot, right? Coming off a major injury?
I was going to say, if he didn't get hurt in that Super Bowl, your offseason is completely different.
Right.
Because you'd have to pay him a lot to stay. So if he wants to come back and wants to be a member of this football team, then you're going to have to meet his price, or he's going to have to come down.
Well, the only place we know he's not going to be is Cleveland, because he sold his house there, right, Linz?
Yeah, so he listed his house in Columbia Station, which at one point in time I used to live out there. So when I was in Cleveland, as part of my vacation, I was going to go look at the open house because, you know, I'm nosy, and my brother told me about it. And I was like, I'm totally going to this.
Yeah.
But then they sold it like a couple days before I got there, so I didn't get to go to the open house. But my brother told me about it. And he's like, are you really going to go? Like, you're just going to go to this random open house? And
I guarantee a lot of people just randomly went to open house.
I was
going to
say, my mom, she goes to open houses all the time. And this was like a big, crazy looking house that most people probably don't get, you know, the chance to see very often. So my mom goes to open houses for no reason. I was going to go, and I don't
think
it's that weird.
My husband does that.
Really?
When we moved into our house?
Yeah.
No, when we moved into our new house, he was like all in. He was just like nosy neighbor, right? So any house that was listed anywhere near, he would just go to the open houses on Saturday. This is before we had kids. Now we don't have time for this stuff, but before we had kids, he would like go to these open houses. He's like, hey, I checked out the neighbor's house. It's like, I think our house is better.
Wow, look at that.
He'd be like, oh man, you got to see this one. And then he'd keep track of like what it sold for, see if it was gonna make our house go up or down.
Yeah, yeah. I got a friend like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's very voyeuristic.
He's been through your house before you even got there.
But yeah. But what's wrong with that? Like, I feel like there's, yeah. I mean.
It gives you, just, you design ideas.
Right. And plus, if you just want to be nosy and be like, oh, what did these people have in their house? Like, how did they decorate it?
You don't
it?
Think that's a problem? Being nosy? Like, you know, checking?
No. I mean, you're not hurting anything.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom does it too. Like, yeah. She does it excessively. Like, I was saying that my grandparents, when they passed away a couple years ago, and they put their house on the, or they sold the house, they put their house on the market this week, and my mom's like, oh, I'm going to the open house to see what they did to it. And I was just like, okay, wow. that's a little, you're nosy and nostalgic, whatever. But, you know, seeing like Odell, like if you're going to see like a NFL player's house, I feel like that's cool. Yeah. Totally different.
So Ben Simmons' house was listed in Philadelphia all year long. And all the time, it was like, and people knew where that was. Like, you could go see Ben Simmons' house all the time. He listed his house with, like, his LSU jerseys and his Sixers jerseys and stuff. Like, and, like, you could arrange for a tour anytime you wanted.
But he still lived there?
No, he wasn't living there.
Oh, okay.
He moved to a different place, like, that was closer to the facility, so he didn't have to drive so far.
Wow.
But he had the house listed all year long that he was still on the team, but not on the team. Remember, he was, like, there, but not playing?
My, Sheldon Ocker, who used to be a beat writer for the Akron Beacon Journal, he went and saw, his wife went to go see Tristan Thompson's house when it was an open house.
Oh, really? I get that.
Yeah. Like she said it was, because it's right by where they live. They live in the same little neighborhood.
Yeah, no, that's a house I'd like to go see.
Yeah. She said it was amazing. I mean, they live in a really nice house too themselves, but she was like, oh, just like the design and everything. The decor was so beautiful.
It has a real comfy bedroom.
Yeah. sure does.
Hey, so we got this tweet here.
Uh-oh, what happened? Who did it?
Okay, so it's to Laura, Funch, me, and you. So I got some free hats from the man, Scott Kaplan, but y'all might want to tell him not to use his home address on the return labels. Classic Cappy.
Oh, my gosh,
the hats,
he would.
Cap.
Yeah.
Appreciate
he would.
Wow.
He would totally do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised at all.
Oh, that's too funny.
On the return label.
That is amazing. We need to really rip him for that when he gets back, because that's amazing.
Man of the people. Man of the people.
Legit man of the people. Now they're going to be showing up at his crib, bro.
Legitimate, yeah.
Like, damn, Cap. Right.
He didn't even think of it. Like, how does he not think
is
of that?
Is it Beto from Whittier who tweeted that? I think it is, right?
Hold on, let me see.
Because if it is, I feel like Beto wouldn't be rolling
up. It was
up
805
to...
Raider 1.
Oh, okay.
Wow. 805
I don't
Raider
think he'll roll up to Cappy's either. Hopefully.
But I mean, but he sent hats to a lot of people. Yeah, that's the thing.
Cap, my man.
Oh, you know how he just God gives them out him. When he comes up here? He's sending them to anybody who's met, like, hey,
should
I
definitely
saw
put, like, the station return address.
I always do for everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, are we really surprised, though,
no.
It's Kaplan?
No, not at all.
You know what, though? Like, I think there's, like, because I went to go shop for trees the other day, and the lady was like,
hey. Like real trees?
Yeah, like real trees.
Yeah. Not like co-trees.
No, like real trees, like palm trees. Like, I wanted to get some palm trees in my backyard.
Yeah.
And so I went to the place, and she goes, oh, do you have any pictures of your backyard? I could see what kind of tree might look good there. And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm picking them out, right? And she goes, I was like, well, I don't have a picture. But she goes, oh, let's just look on Google Earth. What's your address?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she did it, and she, like, zoomed amazing. In. I'm like, this is a little invasive.
It's very invasive.
Like, you can really see my car out front. Like, you can see the...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not quite a live look, but it definitely is live enough.
I remember when we did it, like, because we were looking at a property. Like, you know, we were trying to buy a property, and we couldn't go to the open house and all this other stuff. And the realtor was like, oh, just go to Google, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Check it out. And I'm like, what?
You can see everything.
Heck?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then I did it to my mom's house. And I'm like, oh my God, my car's right there.
Yeah.
Like, your car's right there.
You see the
there.
License plate number? So, you can see the address?
No. Yeah. They blur out the license plate
no,
numbers.
No, I saw my parents, my dad was in a car accident a few months ago. But that truck, you could see like a partial of the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild.
I was going to say, they're supposed to blur them out.
Oh.
Supposed to, but you know.
I don't think that's weird to go to random open houses. That's like very voyeuristic.
No, I mean,
that
no,
is really
I
weird.
Just, I didn't.
It's not weird.
That is weird. That's a little strange.
That I went to a random open house?
No, we were talking about talking about before how we were like going to celebrities open houses and
that's
stuff.
Weird.
That's a little odd.
Oh my God, that's weird.
That's cool.
I don't think it's
just
weird.
Just want to see
all.
How they live?
Who cares? You're not hurting anyone. What if you want to buy it, you know?
I can't afford it. We're...
Right.
All right, coming up next. a lot of reporters are afraid to ask questions of coaches like Bill Belichick, but a kid reporter had some guts. Tell you next.
Wow.
DeMarco and Momo in for Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whoop, whoop. We're doing Prince all day, every day.
No, not just today.
I'm not your man.
Prince had the number one movie and the number one song.
Dude.
In the nation.
He owned
Purple
the
Rain.
World. Yeah.
He really did.
And missed We Are the World, right?
Did he?
He did not perform in We Are the World.
Why not?
Because he was Prince. Wasn't there a story there? He didn't. Yeah, he didn't do We Are the World.
That?
Yeah, he refused to come in.
Wow. Thank God, because that was a terrible song.
Are you kidding me? They brought the world together. Come on now.
That was like the Hands Across America thing, right? From the movie Us.
Right. There was a bunch of those. We're all in the same
game. So the real story is that Prince just didn't like the song We Are the World.
Good
is that
for
what
him.
It was?
Yeah,
good
that's
for
what
him.
It was. He just didn't like it.
But he was invited to come.
He was invited to come, yes.
He didn't want to.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
People were saying he was perceived as selfish for not coming.
That's the one. Right.
He was like, I'm a legend. I'm not putting my name on that junk. He was right.
Wow.
It was not a good song, though. Like, the song, it was iconic and all, but it wasn't actually a good song.
It was just iconic because it was all in it.
Because everyone was in it.
Yeah, but what song like this is a good song?
And
there are none.
Michael Jackson write it?
Yeah.
Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones wrote it. Okay, there you go. Wow.
Okay, that's enough.
That's enough.
See,
that's
you don't even want to listen to it.
No, I don't.
You don't like Kenny Rogers, The Gambler? Anymore. You don't like Kenny Rogers right there?
Of course you do. Come on.
I mean, I like Kenny Rogers. We are the world.
We are the children.
I was not going to start singing, too. Wow.
I mean, you can't not sing, right?
All together, people, in Kumbaya.
There we go.
Hey.
What?
Should we let it run? Okay, we've gone this far. Here it is.
I wonder if you did it right now, if you did it like a We Are the World, who would be a
Better
participant?
Place.
And can you get them all in the same room? I don't think you could.
Well, we'd be doing it over Zoom, probably.
Yeah, it would be over Zoom.
And I feel like...
Well, people did that at the beginning of the pandemic. Remember 2020? They had like concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
There's way too many beefs, I feel like, in like the music industry.
For yeah, it'd be tough,
to, like,
right?
All get those big iconic names together to do something like that.
As soon as you invite Machine Gun Kelly, that would be it.
Oh, he's not just on.
See, they'd be right. You'd be done.
What are you talking about, Laura?
What?
Machine Gun Kelly.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as terrible as he is like one of the top grossing artists of the past like two, three years, which is crazy to me.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm 34. I'm not, like, you know, young, but I'm not, like, super, super on the other side. But I feel like music after, like, the 90s and early 2000s, like, who cares? Like, half of the artists to me now is, like, trash. Like, I love hip-hop, and I don't listen to a lot of hip-hop anymore because I don't feel like...
Laura.
New hip-hop.
Okay,
Laura.
Boomer.
Oh, you did it! You did it, Lance!
I don't care. Laura, I don't care.
You might be getting old.
Like,
you might.
I don't care.
Because you know what? You know when you're getting older and you're like, God, can you believe what the kids listen to these days?
Oh,
like,
my God.
There's a few songs that I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, the beat's dope. But when you really think, because I'm big on lyrics and like
artistry. Me too.
And I don't see that now. Like, I don't hear that now. It's very rare that you get those artists now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I've worked in music stations. I work at Apple Music right now, so I get a bunch of different genres. And the only genre that's really giving you lyrics, which I never thought I would say,
country.
Is country.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a writer, so I'm into the lyrics too. He doesn't have to be perfect, okay?
Yeah.
But like that Harry Styles song you were playing.
Oh, that's so good.
What?
I like it.
Oh, when you're feeling bad, I'll make you feel happy again. Late night talking.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Like, see, I can be down with the times. Like,
my 4-year-old could write that.
I don't think that he wrote... I could be wrong, but I feel like a lot of the younger artists, like Harry Styles being one of them, might not be writing a lot of his music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all, they have like a whole algorithm to figure out what's going to be a hit these days.
That's right.
Crazy.
That's right.
Or like, what did you say about the Beyonce one? You're like, all she's saying is, don't break my soul or whatever.
You don't break my soul. Over. I didn't say that. I didn't criticize Beyonce. Be careful. Don't like, get me
somebody,
in trouble.
Somebody, Beehive. Sorry. Somebody said
that. That was Mason.
Somebody was like, all she does
you
is
Beehive, go off for Mason.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I said about the song is like, I don't know if you can be the song in summer because it's like kind of heavy. Like, I want like a light song. You Won't Break My Soul is pretty heavy.
Did you see Russell Westbrook?
I did. I saw him.
That's what
that
song does.
He picked up his $47 million contract. He says, you won't break my soul.
You mean it wasn't the song? It was the money. Oh. It wasn't the song that was making him happy?
Money.
Yeah, $47 million.
Optics on that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so when I was a kid, I don't think I was ever shy in my life.
Yeah.
But I would definitely not have had the guts to do what this kid reporter at the Patriots practice did the other day. Like, you know how they like let kid reporters in sometimes,
oh, yeah,
and they can ask like the real questions to the real people?
Better be prepared.
So somebody thought it would be a good idea to let a kid reporter ask Bill Belichick a question. You got that sound?
My friends and I watch a lot of football, more than our moms would like, but and we're obsessed with fantasy football. Even though you don't like, you don't play, do you think it's a good or bad for the NFL?
It's not bad, actually. Good question.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really have any opinion on that because it, like, fantasy football doesn't mean anything to me. Like, we're just trying to win games out here, and so I don't know who's hot, who's not, who wins, who doesn't. Like, I don't really care about that. I just care about whether we win. So,
you know what? For Belichick,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Well, because it was a kid.
That's as much as he can do, huh?
If it was like an adult that asked him that question, oh my God. Yeah, that would have went sideways. That would have went sideways in a hurry. Yeah,
can you remember? Can you just imagine? Like, he would just be like, no.
Right.
Do you care about fantasy football? No.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati. Yeah.
When you were a kid, though, would you have the guts to do that?
Probably.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah, you're talking.
This is your moment. Absolutely. Because I get it all the time.
Yeah.
One of my first interviews way back was Graham Benzinger.
Benzinger, yeah. I know.
Yeah,
him.
And it was a kid.
Yeah.
And I actually like picked up the phone thinking it was like a kid interview. He asked some hard-hitting questions. Like,
he's a big guy now, Graham Benzinger.
Big time. Some
Benzinger.
Thoughtful stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good dude. Yeah,
he does
yeah.
like an interview show on one of the streaming things.
You better be prepared when these kids ask you a question. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something serious to them.
Like, as somebody who does this for a living, I always want to be encouraging of the next generation. I want to, like, pump you up and give you... But I also want to keep press conferences professional, right? See, sometimes when they let the kids in, it's like, it's not always going to be professional.
Towards the end of, you know, a practice...
Yeah. It's probably
press
safe.
Conference, it's okay.
But, like, that may be the most words that Bill Belichick's ever said in an answer.
It was a great answer, right? He's trying to tell you, I don't care about fantasy football. You're getting more than what most adults would get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would get your hair blown backwards.
So we didn't get to this yesterday, but it's kind of a big story in the NFL.
Which?
Tom Brady.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Sean Payton. There was a world in which the Dolphins thought all of them would be part of the Dolphins. And the NFL started investigating the Dolphins. I don't know if you read the nitty-gritty of this, okay?
Yeah.
But the NFL investigated this because Brian Flores filed a lawsuit and said the Dolphins owner offered him $100,000 to lose games. That there was racial discrimination in the way that he was treated as the head coach there. And as part of that, there was an allegation that the owner wanted him, Brian Flores, to meet with a quote-unquote celebrity quarterback on a yacht out in the harbor there in Miami and try to recruit him. And Brian Flores says, no, that's tampering. I'm not going to do that. He didn't name the celebrity quarterback, but I think everybody in the world knew it was Tom Brady. And it was after Tom Brady was thinking, it was in 2019 when he was thinking of leaving New England and he ended up going to Tampa. And then there was another incident where they thought about Brady coming aboard with the Dolphins as a part owner, and also playing for the Dolphins. But there was the scenario where they would also talk to Sean Payton. The NFL investigated and actually found that the Dolphins did it.
Yes.
The Dolphins did it, but the owner, Stephen Ross, has been suspended for the first little bit of the season here. They've been fined a first-round draft pick, fined $1.5 million. But this doesn't happen in the NFL very often, where there's tampering of this level.
That you hear about, yeah.
How big a deal is this?
Well, not really. I mean, for the Dolphins, you lose a first-round pick. You're going to lose a third-rounder the next year. You are still going to play football. Your owner can't be in the building, but so what? He can still run the football team.
Yeah, nobody cares about the owner.
Yeah, I mean, and he's going to lose $1.5 million. Okay, drop in the bucket for him. But I can't say Miami was wrong. Why wouldn't you want Tom Brady and Sean Payton leading your football team?
So I was listening to Jeff Darlington from ESPN. And
who would
also...
you rather have, Tua or Brady? Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but Darlington was saying that the thing that was actually more probable in 2019 when Brady had decided to leave the Patriots, he wanted to go. Tampa Bay was at the top of his list, but the other team that was high on his list was the New Orleans Saints. And if Drew Brees would have decided to join Monday Night Football and be in the booth,
yeah,
Brady would have been with Sean Payton in New Orleans.
Do you remember
as a quarterback of the Saints?
Where Brady said something about you wanted to keep that guy over me? Did we ever figure out who that was? Did we ever figure out who that was?
Was that Drew Brees?
I remember it was something about New Orleans, Sean Payton, Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady had released some statement as in you wanted that guy, and I think he said, you know, M and F over me. So it might have been Drew Brees in New Orleans, but if you're Tom Brady and you're leaving New England and you want to get out of that Bill Belichick shadow, right?
Wow.
Miami is your destination. Wouldn't you get to play the Patriots? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very familiar and new at the same time. So I could see how he'd want to be there. But look, I don't begrudge Miami trying to get better and get the best quarterback alive today and one of the best coaches on the same football team. I'd do it too. I think every other owner would try to do it. You just try to be a little more sneaky about it so it doesn't get out.
Like, don't meet on a yacht in the middle of the harbor.
Right. I think the one thing that blew it all up was Brian Flores.
Brian Flores blew it up, but there was also a guy named Bruce Beal, who's a part owner of the Dolphins and a friend of Brady's, and he was the go-between. And so they just didn't cover their tracks. It was just too obvious.
Kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of sloppy. But, I mean, if you're Tom Brady and they offer you a chance to play quarterback and ownership, how do you say no to that? I don't begrudge anybody in this situation. You just got caught. Yeah. Everyone's trying to get better.
Oof.
Yeah.
Alternate reality.
I feel
Tom
bad
Brady
for
in
Tua.
New Orleans.
I feel bad for Tua. Look, you not only do you have to play well and be better than you were last year, now you have your fans knowing that they tried to get Brady instead of you. You know what I mean? That kind of stinks for that kid. Good luck. Yeah.
Hey, coming up next, big deal or no deal?
Well, I'm not Sedano, I'm Lindsay, but Momo's doing something back there.
Game on.
Okay, there we go. You're supposed to do the, take it away, Lindsay.
Oh, take it away, Lindsay.
Okay, so anyway.
That was super creepy, wasn't it?
It's not as fun when, you know, when I have to prompt you to do it.
Yeah, it's not like an open house.
How about, you're right. How about you? Can you give us a take it away, DeMarco?
Take it away, Lindsay.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
You know
that.
What it is? I think you gotta just like pinch your nose.
Yeah.
Take it away, Lindsay.
Take it away, Lindsay.
Yes.
Oh, that worked.
Perfect. Yeah. Both of you guys. All right. So where we're going to start off for Big Deal or No Deal today is Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau are among 11 golfers on the LIV golf circuit who reportedly filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour yesterday. The golfers on the Saudi Arabia-backed circuit are challenging the PGA Tour's decision to suspend them for participating in LIV events. The lawsuit states, quote, "The tour's conduct serves no purpose other than to cause harm to players and foreclose the entry of the first meaningful competitive threat the tour has faced in decades." Mm-hmm. The golfers even go so far as to say that the PGA Tour's suspension is ruining their careers. Is this lawsuit a big deal or no deal, Momo?
I think it's a big deal. They might win, actually. I mean, it's kind of the... Like, I'm pretty sure the PGA is a is an organization that can make its own rules. And therefore, those rules will hold up. But I do think that these golfers could probably prove that it is negatively affecting their career, even though they've made a whole bunch of money by going to the LIV circuit. But it definitely is negatively affecting their career, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out. Because I sense that if enough people went to the LIV circuit, that it would probably just the PGA would cave. Because they need the best golfers in the world, and it's going to hurt both sides if they don't play and if they're not able to go back and forth between events. But I'm really interested to see how this turns out. What do you think?
I agree. It's definitely a big deal. Now, the PGA doesn't want you to flip back and forth, right? Is that what they're saying? Mm-hmm. They want you either with us or with them.
Well, yeah, and it's more so like if you participate in any of the Liv's events, you're done with us.
You're done with us. Yeah. Well, that's just not good. That's just not good business there. I mean, why would you do that?
Because they're offering you like $30 million play on the Liv.
No,
tour.
I get why you would play. Why would the PGA not want you back?
Because the Liv tour is undercutting. No, the Liv tour is undercutting their week to week tour. Like
undercut,
like in other words, they're damaging the PGA Tour events every single week because they're taking the best players and not letting them, and it's a competing tour.
But the best players want to play in the PGA.
Yeah, but they also want the money from the Liv Tour.
Say again,
they want the money from the Liv Tour. They want to be able to do both.
Basically, the PGA Tour wants to be the only game in town, and they're ticked off that somebody else is coming in and trying to steal their thunder.
I hope the players win. I do. Yeah.
I think they will.
I hope the players win.
I think the players will win, too.
I think they will because I know that they filed a restraining order, and that's why they were allowed to play in, like, the Scottish and, like, in the Open, where that was in Scotland, because of there was, like, an injunction and all kinds of legal mumbo-jumbo. But I feel like, you know, the PGA Tour... It's not like a monopoly.
Competition is generally good for business.
Right.
Absolutely.
Competition forces both sides to be better.
I also think that, like, you know, like, if anything, this is bringing so much press and so much publicity
back to
the PGA Tour and to get people interested in golf again. It's like, let's just get this over with and do a PGA Tour versus Liv and, last man standing type of thing.
Yeah,
wins.
It's like the Sharks and the Jets.
Would you hate me if I took Liv money?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
No.
Okay.
Good.
Just checking.
All good.
I wouldn't either. I would do the same thing. All right, next one. So Bloomberg has learned that podcast guests are apparently being routinely paid big money to appear on popular podcasts.
Yeah.
Guestio, which is a marketplace for these deals, has seen a huge transaction increase in the past 6 months where here's some of the numbers they came up with. They found that 4 podcasters made $20,000 for an appearance. One made $50,000 per appearance, and they're having multiple appearances booked. It's not clear how widespread this activity is, but there are some ethical and legal concerns surrounding the practice. It could be considered a modern take on payola or the pay-for-play schemes used to boost songs on the radio.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that paying guests tens of thousands of dollars to appear on a podcast is a big deal or no deal? DeMarco, start with you.
I don't think it's a big deal. Sometimes if you want the big guest, you might have to pay. What's the problem with that?
So No. The guests are paying the podcasts to be on there.
The guests are paying the podcast.
That's right.
Yes.
You get
it? Oh, that is a big deal.
I mean, it's basically like sponsored content on Amazon, sponsored content on Google. Like, people pay to have their listings go up higher on the Google listings, on the searches, or the Amazon. When you search for, like, batteries.
Correct.
Right? Like, there's sponsored takes, and, like, that's where Amazon makes a lot of its money, not just on the transaction fees, but on, like, companies sponsoring to have their product place higher on the search.
Right. So it's like Tom Brady is coming out with the new, what was this show called? Like, TB12?
Yeah.
And he pays me to come on the podcast.
He could pay to be on your podcast to talk about it and promote his podcast. Whereas, you know, in the radio world, we get a lot of pitches where people reach out to us like, hey, do you want to have this person on the show to promote blah, blah, blah? Well, now they're doing it and they're paying the podcasts to allow them to be the guests. Instead of being like, no, thanks, we're going to pass on that one. They're like, oh, well, we'll give you 20 grand. And they're like, oh, okay.
I mean, how is that different than in college football? You have a small school that gets paid to play against a big school and be like, kind of get beat really bad. But that, you know, they'll lose 70-0, but they made $2 million to play that team.
Well,
and that funds their athletic department all year.
Yes.
But it's different because, like this Bloomberg story mentioned, in radio, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be like, I'm an artist and I have a new hit, a song that I want everyone to hear. I can't show up to the radio station and be like, hey, here's my new single that I just came out with. Here's 50 grand. If you play it, I'll give it to you. Like, you can't do that. That's illegal.
Here's the real. There's too many podcasts.
Yeah.
There are.
Yes. There's too many podcasts.
Yeah. Everyone has a podcast.
It's like when everybody had a blog. Okay.
Yep.
And after a while, people lost interest because, like, you actually have to do work and you have to write the blog and make it. But there's a dilution of product, right? Once you have too many things, then you can't charge the same ad rates, and it's actually really bad for everybody. So we need to consolidate to a certain manageable level now. And I know just from having been in that space a little bit, you can do the best podcast in the world, but if it doesn't get the strongest placement on the Apple Music app. Or if people can't find your podcast, if you're not getting the promotion for it, no one's going to listen to it. Like, it's hard to find it. And the biggest thing you can get is somebody influential to tweet it or to get it out there on social media or to get it out there where people can find it. And so a lot of those things are
deals now. Like companies have deals where they're essentially not paying for it one to one or directly, but like that's how you get your stuff out there.
Yeah, they are. And I think that's like I know that there's a lot of podcasts that cater to a very niche audience.
Niche.
NICHE with a little what is the accent?
You don't have to do an accent on me. Everybody knows.
Yeah. But, you know, if I'm like, oh, I want to hear a podcast about fishing for bass fish, like whatever, or perch or whatever. Like, you could find a podcast
on that. You're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllables.
I am. You're right.
Did she say bass? I like that.
Bass. The bass. That's what they're called. The bass fish. But anyway, there's podcasts about everything. And I feel like the problem with it is they need to do some type of regulation, whatever. They need to decide if they're going to do it or not. And then everybody move on.
Party's over.
Yeah. Okay, last one here. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj fans are going head-to-head right now on Twitter, or have been for the past day or so. After Nicki Minaj shared a preview for her upcoming single, Freaky Girl, Cardi B's fans began age-shaming her.
What?
Soon, the hashtag She's40 started trending on Twitter. Then, you know, Nicki Minaj's fans clapped back with their own hashtag, No Nicki, No Career. This has been going on back and forth, but the root of the matter here is that the age shaming is seen to be a very big problem with one of the fan bases. Yeah. So do you guys find age shaming a big deal or no deal?
I think that's a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of shaming that goes on, right? Like, there's fat shaming, there's age shaming. What else kind of shaming is there?
I mean, I feel like age shaming is kind of a newer one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a new one.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a thing now?
I think age...
In hip-hop.
In hip-hop.
Hip-hop, definitely.
Dang.
Yeah, rock and roll, you can
be like 100 and you're good.
Yeah,
no, Mick Jagger's still going.
You can be the Rolling Stones, but
Bruce Springsteen's 72.
In hip hop, you age out.
But also, here's another.
I don't know why that is, but you do.
For women,
For
women, it's even more, especially in that genre.
You age out, and all of a sudden, the new artists start calling you old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as in you're not relevant anymore.
As in like me. Yeah, because I said I don't like the new stuff.
Stop. I remember I first started on Mason in Ireland, I remember
I'm a boomer.
Morales being like, whatever you do, don't call them old. And I was like, okay. And I think at the time it was like, you know, nobody wants to be called old, but at some point, like with Cappy. Cappy, like, he's the old guy of our bunch, you know?
How old is he?
He's not even that old. He's in his 50s.
He's like 51.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not even that old, but he's, among myself, Laura and Sedano, he's the oldest guy in the group.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, we kind of like have fun with them about it. But like I said, I just remember like that was a thing, like, don't talk about them being old. I was like, why do they get like really offended by it or something? Because, you know, at some point you got to call a spade, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, you're as old as you feel.
Sure.
That's true.
And there's people who are 50 that feel 70. And there's people that are 50 that feel 30.
I'm 34.
True.
How old do you feel?
I feel like I'm like in my 40s.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
I feel like I'm 25.
There you go.
I'm the youngest one of our team.
But you also work a lot, Laura.
That's true.
You have like 6 jobs.
I do work a lot.
You work a lot. Maybe you are older.
Six jobs.
When you work too much, you feel older.
I've always been like an old soul, though.
Yeah, no, you're
old.
But
I think like...
Me too. I was always friends with my friend's parents.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I go to the kid party and I go talk to their mom.
Same.
Oh,
wait,
no.
Isn't radio an ageless profession, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess
well,
not.
No,
yeah.
there's nothing more pathetic than somebody who is old who is trying to act young.
That I'll give you.
I'm not going to say anything to that.
Yeah, that I will definitely give you. Yeah. No doubt.
I thought you weren't going to say anything.
I said it in your ear.
What did you say?
I heard that, so I thought she said it on air.
I thought you said it on air.
I said it in your ear. I don't know. We'll talk about during the break the same time that you tell us the person that you you know, that you didn't
Oh,
like
I didn't
work.
Tell you that. The one I fell asleep with.
Yeah.
There was one I think I might have thrown up in my mouth a little bit with, too.
Cool.
What?
Whoa. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. See, this is why, like, you know, we need to have a show behind the show.
I mean, I was definitely, like, sitting in the seat DeMarco was.
Yeah.
And that person was talking, and they were talking so much. And I had, like, one of those burps that turned into a little bit of...
So you literally...
And I was like, oh!
Do I know the guy?
Yeah.
Literally threw up in your mouth
a little bit in my mouth. And I was like, I was supposed to, you know, like you're supposed to talk. You got it ready to talk.
Fill in a regular.
But then, it was a regular. Definitely a regular. He's not here anymore. And I threw a little bit in my mouth. And I was like, it's kind of like that part where you're like, ooh, should I swallow this?
Black or white?
White. Should I swallow this? Should I spit? Like, normally you should. Oh, okay, okay. You know what? On that note, there's no way that I can upstage this lady. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
Nancy B was the organist at Dodger Stadium forever, 25 years. She retired a few years ago, but she is still near and dear to a lot of Dodger fans' hearts, and she knew Vin Scully very well. She'll join us next. DeMarco Farr, Ramona Shelburne, in for Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.
Hey!
There we go.
Yes.
This day, this week, in 1984, Prince's Purple Rain began a 24-week run atop the Billboard album chart, tied for sixth longest all time. This is really his best song.
Off this album.
Off this album. All right.
No doubt.
Should I ask Nancy B about Prince? What do we think?
I'm curious. Yes. Go
she
ahead.
Knows everything.
Go ahead.
Nancy B is like a music historian. Joining us now on ESPN LA, Nancy B. Heffley was the organist at Dodger Stadium for over 25 years. She's one of my favorite people in the world. She retired a couple years ago and knew the man and the legend, Vin Scully, very well. Joining us to share her remembrances of him. How you doing, Nance?
I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you these days?
I'm in the Reno area.
Oh, Reno. Okay. Had you kept in touch with Vin over the years after you retired and he retired?
He called me a few months after I lost my husband, and then so I turned around and called him a few months after he lost his wife. But other than that, we didn't keep in touch. You know, he's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very family oriented. And the family and a few close friends were what his life was based around, even when he was in baseball.
When you knew Vinny all those years in the press box, how much did you guys interact? I'm sure you know, Nancy was playing the organ, Vin was down in the broadcast booth, but you saw each other every day, or at least at every home game, for the better part of three decades.
Well, I wore headphones, and I had him on my headphones. So he's very conscious of song titles and words in the songs. In fact, I was told that he sang in the car, he sang at home. You know, music was very important to him.
Yep.
So I played a lot of show tunes, and he liked the show tunes. So I would play something, and he would talk about it being something that went along with what the team was doing. Or he would make a comment and say, I wonder if Nancy B has this in her vocabulary of songs. and so...
It was almost like he had a request for you.
Pretty much. He would call up some pretty good ones. You know, when we had Who at first base, he said, I always wanted to say Who's on first. And then he says, I wonder if Nancy B knows that old song called Who. And boy, I was on my way to the restroom when I heard that. And I thought, oh my goodness, can I come up with that? So when I do that, I sing along to myself. And I try to get through the rough parts of the song. So when I went back, I played it. Not always amazing.
So he said that on air? He would say that on air and like challenge you to learn it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nancy B. Heffley, who was the organist at Dodger Stadium for, how long was it in the end? 25 years? 28. Is joining us here on ESPN LA to talk about the late, great Vin Scully. When people ask you about Vin, Nancy, what do you tell them? What's your favorite Vin Scully story and remembrance?
What a humble and gracious man he was. He was everybody's friend. If I had friends or relatives, they all wanted to meet him. And if he met them, he talked to them just like he knew them forever, made them feel very much at home. He was just a very lovely man.
Nancy,
as soon as he was devoted to his wife, after dinner at the ballpark, you knew not to bother him because he was calling Sandra to talk to her for a while.
Wow. Oh, so he would call her after dinner every night. Hey, Nancy, the last question I had for you was, Bill Plaschke was on with us yesterday, and he had some ideas of where Vin would get most of his material. I didn't see him go down and talk to the players or talk to the scouts. Do you have an insight on where he would get all those stories that he would tell?
Well, he had someone in there. Excuse me, I have a chronic cough. I don't know if you've on the road have seen this, Marty.
Uh-huh.
Can't think. Well, they, when they come to a team or anything, and he had one in the booth with him that would look up on the computer different information, and they would feed it to him, you know, as he'd be announcing. So a lot of that came from, but he had a fabulous memory. You know, we all know that.
Yeah. Hey, Nancy, it's
but he did get help from inside like that.
He definitely had some scouts there. He definitely had some scouts and his producers who told him a lot of things. Nancy, it was wonderful to hear your voice again and to reconnect with you. I hope we get to see you down the road. I know they're having a big remembrance event at Dodger Stadium tomorrow before the game at 6:30. I saw you change your Facebook profile photo of him of him and you.
I don't travel much, so I will have to just see it on the television.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us again, Nancy. It's great to reconnect with you, and thanks for sharing your remembrances of Vin.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Nancy B., I can just, like, hear her playing that organ up there. She would take requests. So Vin Scully would put it to her.
Yeah.
He would say, okay, I wonder if Nancy knows that song. And she had to go learn it real fast.
She had
the
headphones and would listen to him.
I know.
And then come up with
that's
it.
Like
that's
when
awesome.
Mason. That's like when Mason calls out, and you're like... I get these calls from Greg. It was like, Mason just called and said, can you come on the air? I'm like, when? He's, right now?
Right now.
Right now. Well, I'm kind of in the middle of something, but okay.
Wow. Right now. Wow.
It's not like learn the song.
Wow. Don't bother him after a game.
Yeah, tomorrow before the game at Dodger Stadium, they're doing a big remembrance of Vinny at the stadium. DeMario, this has been fun the last couple of days.
It's been great. Wait. Yeah. We have Friday, right?
We have Friday, yeah.
But yeah. Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good. Absolutely, it's been fun.
I mean, we were reaching. I was looking at the holidays today, and it was National White Wine Day, Single Working Women's Day, and India Pale Ale Day. How did that happen? Single
India,
IPA
Day.
IPA Day.
Yeah.
Oh like, yeah, okay. You
know, IPA Day.
Which I hate IPAs. I feel like they all taste like Christmas trees.
I know, right?
Nasty.
Excuse me. Wow.
Sorry, not a fan.
How dare you?
Not a
I like,
fan.
I like a Hefeweizen.
Love Hefeweizen.
I like a Corona.
Come on.
I'll drink a Guinness.
Yeah.
Ask me what my favorite beer is.
What is your favorite beer?
More.
More. You've told that joke before.
A few times.
Yeah, he has.
Do people laugh?
A lot.
No.
A lot. Stop.
Is it after a few more beers?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. You start telling lies. Come on now.
Tequila.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Tequila is where's that?
Don't get me started. Where's the cookies?
What do we got coming up next? What's after us?
ESPN Radio.
Oh, ESPN Radio. We go to the network?
Yeah.
Okay. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
See you tomorrow.
On this lovely, what is it? What
Thursday.
Was the
day?
Thursday
afternoon. I'm going to get home to the kiddo.
Chocolate chip cookie
you made
cookie
me
day.
Eat these chocolate chip cookies that were so good, and I thought they were non-dairy, and they're not, so my baby's
okay,
going to be farting
so,
later tonight.
I'm so sorry.
Thank
they
you.
Told me they were non-dairy.
And then you're like, oh, it's gluten-free. I'm like, oh, not the same thing.
No.
Can you
well,
record
they told
them?
Me.
Record them farting.
You want
what?
Me to?
Yeah. Bring it in tomorrow.
DeMarco yeah, we want video.
Nasty stuff.
Take a good video. It'll be funny. It's cute. It's cute when babies, like little babies.
It is cute. It's also, but you know what? It's not just like a little baby fart. It's like a loud man fart.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're like, dang.
As long as you don't have any blowouts, we'll be good. Those are the worst.
Get that one on tape.
Yeah.
Aren't you the one that asked Cappy for his sausage toe?
What?
DeMarco?
Yeah, he got stung by a bee, right?
Yes,
and his toe
and Cappy was trying to send everyone a photo of that.
I
wanted
to see it.
He's the only one that
you don't like
it.
To see that stuff? Come
no.
On, it's good stuff.
That's
yeah,
gross.
Absolutely.
You're such
probably
a
probably watched
absolutely.
Fear
you've been
Factor,
in too
huh?
Many, you've been in too many locker rooms.
I like to see damage.
Is that what you guys did in locker rooms? Dude, you got to see my finger.
Every now and then. It depends if it's pointing the wrong way.
Oh, my God. You got to see this bruise.
Stuff if it's pointing the wrong way. Absolutely.
What was pointing the wrong way?
Yeah, anything.
Oh, my God.
Something. Big scar.
I better stop the show before we all get in trouble. Momo, DeMarco, Lindsay, Laura, Funches already left. See you tomorrow. ESPN LA.
All right.